order for Wednesday, and we're going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 461. Janet, why don't you kind of remind us where we are, and we have an amendment.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 461, and you have the Dash 1 amendment at your place. You also should have a fiscal impact statement for the Dash 1 amendments. This is Senator Deckert's bill that would increase the charge on retail, residential, and commercial electric bills that fund the state's low-income energy assistance program. The original bill had a $15 million total amount collected. The amendments keep that $15 million for the first year, 2008, but they delete the inflation adjustment on the total amount that would have increased by inflation every year. Instead, it requires the PUC to set the amount for each customer in the first year, 2008, and then allow that rate to increase if there is an increased load use or if there are new customers. So that it could be more than $15 million in the subsequent years. Mr. Chair, it does maintain the $500 per month cap per site, and the fiscal impact indicates how much revenue is anticipated from the the additional charges in the future biennia, and there are no additional administrative expenses for the Housing and Consumer Housing and Community Services Department or the PUC. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Donovan, you want to come forward and talk about the amendment? And briefly.
Very briefly, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Phil Donovan. I'm here on behalf of the Community Action Directors of Oregon. With me is Jim Abrahamson. He is my on-the-ground expert, in case you have any technical questions. First off, Janet Adkins was very helpful in convening this work group and bring resolution to a few outstanding issues from our previous public hearing. The issues that were discussed were increasing the size of the cap, objections to the use of the CPI, and then increasing the $500 cap on large retail customers. First off, I want to say that after 8 years of no growth in the program, there was unanimous agreement that increasing the program to $10 million to $15 million was appropriate. Second, several parties objected to using this consumer price index to adjust the Oregon Energy Assistance Program for inflation. We tried a couple of other ideas, bouncing around with PUC, maybe increasing it based on certain percentages. Frankly, we just concluded it was too problematic and that the lowest common denominator was just allowing the program to increase with population and energy use. If this proves too little in the future, we can always come back to the legislature and talk about a potential increase, but basically we decided to go with that least common denominator, if you will. Finally, we talked about increasing the $500 cap, and we realized that there is just very few that is gained by increasing that cap because there's very few electrical users that reach the cap, approximately 80 sites statewide. So by maintaining the cap, electricity customers will know that there is a limit on the program charges and that it was best to just kind of leave it as is. So we would encourage the committee adopt and support the Dash 1 amendments and move this forward with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Donovan. Questions, Mr. Donovan, on his Dash 1. Okay. I guess I need a motion, and why don't you play Vice Chair, Mr. Deckert?
Okay. I like to play Vice Chair. One other thing I would point out, that Phil, I'm not sure if you mentioned, ICNU, AOI, were in the room in those negotiations.
Mr. Chair, Senator Deckert in the room was Portland General Electric, Fair and Clean Energy Coalition, Citizens Utility Board, AOI, PUC, OHCS, obviously Community Action Directors. I think ICNU, because the $500 cap was maintained, didn't have an issue with this.
That's it. Okay. Great. Okay. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the Dash 1 amendments.
Okay, Senator Deckert has moved the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 461. Any further discussion on the amendment? Any objection to the amendment?
There we go.
So ordered. Saved by the committee member. Senator Deckert.
Mr. Chair, I'll move 461 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Deckert has moved Senate Bill 461 as amended with a due pass recommendation. And Senator Monis Anderson, we just heard from Mr. Donovan, and this is on the low low income charge that has been kept at the $15 million, but the CPI has been deleted and the cap of $500 a month has been maintained. Okay. Do you have any other questions on that? Okay. Would you take a roll call, please?
Hold it. There was a question.
I'm sorry.
I was going to explain my vote real quick, if I could. Mr. Chairman, I am going to vote no on this bill, but I want to let everybody who worked on it know that I think the program is an excellent program. And my objection is only on the source of revenue on this, is that I think that there's places where we could find some revenue for an important program like this outside of raising additional fees on the consumers out there. It's $5 million. It's something that we ought to be doing as a kind of a core function of what we do here. And so, unfortunately, because of the source of the revenue, I'll be voting no, but I want to make sure that everybody knows I'm supportive of the program and see the benefits. So I didn't want anybody to misinterpret my vote.
Thank you, Senator. Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Aye.
Senator
Pecker?
Aye.
Senator
George?
Nope.
Senator Starr?
Excused. Chair Mester? Aye. 461 has received constitutional majority declared pass, and I'll ask Senator Decker to carry that bill. Okay, now let's open up a work session on Senate Bill 256. Janet.
Mr. Chair and members, Senate Bill 256 was the bill that specified requirements for auto liability arbitration proceedings. And the amendments, the 256-1 amendments at your place, maintain the three-judge panel requirement for uninsured motorist coverage but not for personal injury protection arbitration proceedings. It was found that many of the personal injury protection claims are small enough that a three-judge panel is not considered necessary as required by the original bill, but that it is considered appropriate and necessary for the uninsured motorist arbitration proceedings. The amendments do apply the findings and awards limitations to the PIP arbitration proceedings, but not the uninsured motorist. There is a sunset date of January 2nd, 2012 on the three-judge panel requirement to see that how that works. The amendments do replace the entire bill. It's so long just because one of the sections, and existing sections, is long. The main changes are on page 1 and pages 24 and 26.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Jackson, do you want to come and speak on the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. As you recall...
Wait, identify yourself.
Oh, Neil Jackson. I'm on the Board of Governors of the Oregon Trial Lawyers Association. My cohorts from the insurance industry are in another hearing. However, I met with them outside, and they have approved the amendments. They were pursuant to an agreement we reached last time we met. And as far as I've been told by my cohorts from the insurance industry, there is no objection to this, and we'd ask the committee to give it a due pass.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you working on that and really appreciate the work that industry and you have worked on these issues. Questions for Mr. Jackson? Okay. Thank you very much. So we have a dash one amendment on the arbitration bill to 256. I'd like to have a motion.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move Senate bill, or no, I move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 256.
Okay. Senator Montes Anderson has moved the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 256. Discussion? Objection? Order.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 256 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Senator Montes Anderson has moved Senate Bill 256 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objection? Order. Please mark Senator Starr and Senator Deckard as excused. Okay, I'll carry that one. Now let's open up a work session on Senate Bill 466. Janet.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 466 was the bill that allowed agricultural cooperatives to have directors on their governing boards who were not members or representatives of members of the cooperative. It does require that a cooperative have specific authority adopted in their bylaws in order to elect non-member directors. We had a hearing on this bill, and there were some questions about it, and you have the dash two amendments today at your place. This changes, there was some unclear language in the drafting, but it also specifies that a majority of directors must still be members or representatives of members that on the Board of Governors. This bill was brought by the Agricultural Cooperative Council, and Jim John McCullough is here.
Okay. Mr. McCullough, you want to come forward?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm John McCulley, representing the Agriculture Cooperative Council of Oregon. We support the amendments that are before you. We think it's a good clarification of the policy, and we think it will work well.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. McCulley?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Monsanto, Senator George.
I was going to move.
Oh, okay. I think Senator George had a question.
I just wanted to say I appreciated, John, your efforts on this, and I apologize. I hung you up on this bill, and I'm supportive of either the dash ones or dash twos after our conversation, so thank you very much.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. So this is the Agricultural Cooperative, and the amendment says that they can have outside directors, but that the majority still has to be members of the co-op. They cannot have a majority of outside directors. And that's a dash two amendment.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr has moved the dash two amendment to Senate Bill 466. Discussion on the amendment. Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move 466 as amended to Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 466 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Objection? So ordered. Please mark Senator Deckard as excused. Well, Monis Anderson is the ag, you know, person in East County. It's, how about Senator Monis Anderson, please? Let's open up work session, Senate Bill 88. Janet.
Mr. Chair and members, Senate Bill 88 is the bill that was at the request of the Water Resources Department and would repeal the sunset on a continuing education requirement and their current license fee structure that was adopted in 2001 for well constructor licensees. The amendments, the dash one amendments at your place, were worked out between the well drillers and the department, and they established a fee of $40 per credit hour, but not to exceed $250 for a full day course for the well drillers, and if it's agency-sponsored training. The bill would retain the sunset on the continuing education requirement, but extend it to 2014, and it does continue to eliminate the sunset on the current fee structure for the rest of the program. Mr. Chair, Tom Paul and Mike Amon are here from the Department of Water Resources, and Jerry Schmidt is here from the well drillers.
Okay, three of you want to come up? Okay, maybe give us a summary on our discussion and how we arrived at the dash one would probably be helpful.
Okay, good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tom Paul with Oregon Water Resources Department. We have worked with Jerry and the well constructors to come up with a set of amendments that we do support, and they are the amendments as described.
Okay. Mr. Schmidt.
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Jerry Schmidt. I'm here today representing the Oregon Groundwater Association. Just a small point of clarification for the record. I want to make sure that this requirement doesn't extend to the department if they're offering classes in conjunction with somebody else. In other words, if they have a class sponsored by Lynn Benton Community College and they don't want to charge for that, that's acceptable to us, and I just wanted to clarify it because it doesn't say that anywhere in the bill, but we did reach that agreement with them that this doesn't extend to classes outside of their own sponsored classes. So thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. It was.
Thank you, Mr. Schmidt. Yeah, I think it says for courses sponsored by the Water Resources Department. Fee. Any questions for any of our guests? Okay, thank you for all your hard work.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 88.
Senator Starr has moved the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 88. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move Senate Bill 88 as amended to Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 88 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Other discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Please mark Senator Deckard as excused, and I'll ask Senator Starr to carry that. All right, let's open up a work session on Senate Bill 440. Janet.
Mr. Chair and members, Senate Bill 440 Is the bill at the request of the Oregon Association of County Assessors and County Tax Collectors that would require additional information be included on ownership documents for manufactured homes and require that a seller document to the county that tax and assessment payments are current at the time of the notice of sale. The Dash 2 amendments replace the entire bill, and the main change in those Dash 2 amendments is to specify who is responsible for providing the additional information about the structure, and that is found in a new subsection, or Section 3 on page 2. It outlines responsibilities if certain people who has the information who it's given to. Mr. Chair, the counties use this information for tax assessment and collection purposes, and it would be helpful to have it in the state record for them to be able to locate it. Diane Belt is here from the County Assessors and Tax Collectors. Don Miner's here from, and there's a representative from the Building Codes Division as well.
Okay. I think I'll survey first to see if my committee has any questions before, otherwise I'll bring them up.
Okay. You're off the hook.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 440.
Senator Starr has moved the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 440. Discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move Senate Bill 440 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 440 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Starr.
Just, I appreciate the various parties working together on this. This is, further work that we did when we moved basically the regulations of manufactured structures out of DMV into DCBS, and I appreciate the willingness of folks at DCBS to basically agree to allow this to be done. I think it furthers the work that we did before, and I think it's good policy, though. Appreciate that, Mr. Chair.
Good. Thank you. That was just last session. Thank you, Senator Starr. Okay. Any objection to the motion for Senate Bill 440? Hearing none. So ordered. Mark Senator Deckard, please, is excused. Now we'll open up work session. Oh, yes, Senator Starr will ask to carry. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 543. Janet.
Mr. Chair, this is a little more recent bill that you've heard, Senate Bill 543. It would delete a requirement that assessments for homeowner and condominium unit owner associations be deposited in bank accounts located with Oregon. But it does require assessments be deposited in federally insured bank accounts. We have before you the Dash 1 amendments that would allow the assessments to be deposited in credit unions as well as banks, and the broader term is financial institutions. Again, those would have to be maintained in the United States. And the Dash 2 amendments are an emergency clause that make the bill effective on passage. There is not a general understanding that this requirement even exists, so there could be some deposits out there in out-of-state banks. Mr. Chair, the definition of financial institution referred to does, again, include credit unions.
Okay. So the requirement is the federally insured aspect of it. Okay. First of all, I think what I'll do is just be expeditious. Does the committee have some questions? We have people who can answer them. Okay. In that case, we have a Dash 1 and a Dash 2 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 543.
Senator Starr has moved the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 543. Discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move the Dash 2 amendment to Senate Bill 543.
Senator Starr has moved the Dash 2 amendment to Senate Bill 543. Discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move Senate Bill 543 as amended to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 543 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And I think I'll ask Lori if you carry that bill.
Sure.
Thank you. All right. Let's open up a work session on Senate Bill 63. Janet.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 63 is the bill at the request of the Landscape Contractors Board that requires a landscape contractor to send the Landscape Contractors Board a copy of any court judgment, arbitration award, or the final order of any agency that requires the licensee to pay damages due to performance related to landscaping work. The copy was going to be required to be sent within 30 days of the court or administrative ruling. Mr. Chair, the Dash 1 amendments were worked out after questions were raised on the bill by Greer Brothers in testimony. And the Dash 1 amendments, instead of requiring the notice be at the at the time of the award or a judgment be when the landscape licensee applies for renewal or initial license. It does also restrict the notice requirements to those judgments or awards that are unpaid, so that's a further narrowing. Making failure to notify the board is required a grounds for suspension, revocation, or refusal to renew a license. Mr. Chair, there is also remaining from the original bill, if you fail to pay that, or excuse me, make that notice, civil penalties, as indicated. And from the Landscape Contractors Board, Kim Gladwell Rowley is here if you have any questions.
Okay. Why don't you come forward? We had a lot of discussion about this bill when it was up, so I would appreciate just maybe giving the committee a brief overview of how we came to the amendment. And
sure. Just for the record, my name is Kim Gladwell Rowley, and I'm the program analyst. I was not part of that, but the administrator of the Landscape Board, Mike Snyder, and Roger Greer met, and they came to a compromise. I do know that Mr. Greer did state he would like these to deal only with judgments that were in an Oregon court, but Mike said he felt that even crossing the borders was important to know if a judgment was in Washington and they came across the borders. And so Mr. Greer said that he could live with that.
That's important. Nice you got this duty today. You probably do we have any questions at all?
The Bill Cross's group is okay with this? Landscape Contractors Association?
I believe that they are.
My understanding is, yeah.
He was just here. He said he was.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you. Well, we've got a dash one.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 63.
Senator Starr has moved the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 63. Discussion on the amendment? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move the Senate Bill 63 as amended to Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 63 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Other discussion? Any objection? Ordered. Please mark Senator Deckard as excused. You want to carry that one, Senator Starr?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now let's open up public hearing on Senate Bill 2076. Janet?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2076 would authorize the Oregon Landscape Contractors Board to issue probationary landscape contractor licenses. It expands the options for meeting the minimum education and experience requirement for being licensed. If an applicant cannot meet the requirements of the 24 months of employment with the landscape contractor or 12 months employment plus 1 year of training, the board would be able to issue the potential landscape licensee a probationary license. The board is authorized to limit or restrict by rule the work that can be performed by a probationary contractor, but otherwise the probationary license is considered a landscape contractor license. Then after 2 years, the person would be able to apply for full licensure. This is a bill at the request of the Landscape Contractors Board and the Office of Regulatory Streamlining. You have the House vote at your place, and that's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, now.
And
you're here to. Okay. Come on forward, please. Please give us your name and tell us about why we need this bill.
Okay. My name is Kim Gladwell-Rowley, and I am the program analyst for the Landscape Contractors Board. And the proposed legislation, as Janet says, allows an individual that does not meet the existing qualifications, the education and experience requirements to take the test, to be allowed to take the test. They can sit, and they have to pass all sections of the test within 1 year, period, and then they'll be given a probationary license. And there are certain restrictions with that probationary license. As Janet said, they would be allowed to work for a landscaping business for 2 years, but they need to be under the direct supervision of a fully licensed landscape contractor. They would be allowed to start their own business. However, they would need the maximum bond, which is $15,000, and they would only be allowed to perform landscape projects up to $15,000. They could also be employed as a supervising landscape contractor for a business that they didn't own, but there again, that business would need the $15,000 bond and only perform jobs up to $15,000. Then after the 2 years, when they've been in business, then they can operate normally and have a license that's not probationary. There is an exception to that, and that is anyone who's licensed under the Construction Contractors Board Law, ORS 701, if they've had their license for 2 years, then this probationary can be waived because we believe that they have had 2 years of experience in the construction industry. And the reason for this is due to the construction contractors' licensees. They're having difficulty qualifying for our exam, and so we wanted to open it up mainly for them, but it opens it up for a lot of other people also.
Okay. So just based on your last statement, and as I understand the bill, it is designed to induce a bit more competition in the business of landscaping for people who are on that track but may not necessarily have met all the other requirements and provide them an opportunity to do that?
Yes.
Is that a fair characterization
correct.
Of that? Okay. Questions for the witness? Senator Montes Anderson.
Are there a lot of legal immigrants that are coming in wanting wanting to be licensed, and English as their primary language is not? Is that who this is to address?
Well, Senator Montes Anderson, Chair Metzger, it can. Those people, I don't know about them being illegal immigrants.
I said legal.
Yeah, okay. But they would be allowed to take the test. They do have 1 year. They would have to pass it. So it does open that door for them also.
And a follow-up. Do you provide interpreter service, or do they have to do it in English?
Senator Metzger, we do not provide interpreters.
Okay.
However, they can hire one and bring them in. We would, of course, have to approve that interpreter. It can't be a friend or a mother or father, that sort of thing. But, but they, at this today, can do that.
Thank you.
Other questions? Yes, Senator Starr.
So this, thank you, Mr. Chair. This isn't a bill that requires everybody that's walking in the door to get a probationary license first. It's only for a certain number of folks that, for whatever reason, couldn't or can't qualify for your full-scale landscape contractors board license.
Senator Starr, that's correct. It's if you qualify with the education and the experience, then you'll get a full license without the probation.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else want to testify on this bill at the moment? Okay. What I'm going to do is I have no objections to the bill, but I just I think with the director gone, a few things, I'd like to just hold it for a little bit. And now that we've had the public hearing, in case there are any questions, I'm not signaling that I have any, but I just would feel, because we haven't had enough of the folks here before we move it on, even though it's passed well. And bring it back next week, just in case there's any feedback. So if you hear of any additional comments, bring them to us, and then we'll just bring it back next week. But I would just feel a little better about that. So we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2076. Janet, why don't you tell us about tomorrow, and we'll be out really early.
thank you, Mr. Chair. Tomorrow.
Thursday.
Okay, we have a couple of transportation bills, House bills that came over without any objections. And they have to do with renewal of a learner's permit and registration weight for trucks. There's also a Blue Star Memorial Highway Day proclamation, and I believe that's all. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes,
sir. The committee moves SB 451
and 256. Yeah, let's reopen the work session on Senate Bill 461 and ask unanimous consent Senator Starr be allowed to vote. Is there any objections to that? So ordered. Senator Starr, how do you vote on Senate Bill 461?
Aye.
Senator Starr, be recorded as an aye vote. And close the work session on Senate Bill 461. Open work session on Senate Bill 256. I would ask unanimous consent that Senator Starr be allowed to vote on Senate Bill 256. Is there any objection? So ordered. Senator Starr, how do you vote?
Votes aye.
Thank Senator you. Starr votes aye on Senate Bill 256. We'll close the work session, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.